Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, it's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that there. Wonderful song. And this is Reaching the World for Christ. This is Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood. We're coming on live from Madisonville, Tennessee, Reaching the World for Christ. So we'd like to invite you in with us. If you want to call in on the 310-742-1759, I'll go ahead and call in there on 310-742-1759. We'll put you right on the line with us, speaking to the whole world. So we just want you to come in there and obey the Lord, and we'll have a great time together. So just worship the Lord. If you've got any prayer requests or testimonies you'd like to make known, why, just call in there on 310-742-1759, and we'll put you right on the line there to just worship the Lord in spirit and truth with us. So I'll, are you ready? Praise the Lord. I'll let Tim come and sing us a song here. So just go ahead and worship the Lord with him as he sings there. So call in there on 310-742-1759. And the subject tonight is identity theft. So if you, you know, there's a right way and a wrong way of doing things. So if you don't have the right identity, why, then you've done something wrong. So you need to have the right identity. So just to call in there on 310-742-1759. We'll put you on line with us. So as Tim sings here, just worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Maybe we'll get the equipment going here in a minute. Well, anything made by man, it's going to give you problems from time to time. So we just have to bear with it and go with it and just worship the Lord anyway. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to have to give the prayer request. Okay, go ahead. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to do the prayer request first.
Well, praise the Lord anyway. We're just going to believe that he gets the music going there. We have lots of prayer requests, a lot of people in need tonight, so we like to everybody to remember the Cox family. Pastor Mark Cox was preaching on Saturday night up in Louisville, Kentucky, and at his church that he pastors, and he preached a good message on the resurrection and went to the back of the church and fell dead. So let's remember that family. They're really heavy tonight. And let's remember that church. And remember Sister Debbie Samples tonight. We just thank God for all that he's done for her and for what he's going to continue to do for her. And Brother Randy Richardson had a stent put in the back of his neck, and the doctor said that the plaque was building up in the clogged arteries and going to his brain, and that was what was causing him to pass out. And he's going for tests this week. So remember, Brother Randy, we've been in a lot of services with him before. Remember the Brennan family tonight and Kevin Miller family. Sister Frieda Lynchfield has gotten a job, a new job, so let's pray that God will protect her while she's on her job. Keith Green has cancer and needs a miracle. We just ask you all to pray for him. He also needs salvation. Brother John Sample's grandson has two types of cancer. He needs a miracle, and the other grandson that has a rare disease. Let's remember all of these. Let's remember Clint Hampton, healing and salvation for him and our five kids that need salvation. Let's remember Pastor Saeed that was in Iran prison. He is now in a hospital. And let's pray that he all gets back home to the States with his wife and children. And remember me tonight. I've been smothering and feels like my chest is real heavy. So let's just remember all of those, and there'll be more prayer requests coming in a little bit later. If you have a praise report, just call in on 310-742-1759. Or if you want to join us in the preaching, just call that number also. God bless.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. So 661, I guess that's Sister Gladys. Come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at there.
Hi, Brother Yearwood. Yeah, this is Sister Gladys in Moorhead, Kentucky.
Well, praise the Lord. You got any prayer requests you want to make known there?
Yes, Brother John Loveless. He is on chemo and comes to the church for his liver. Be praying about him and my uncle that's got a like a grapefruit size cancer in his body. Pray for him. His name is Gary. My sister-in-law, Nancy. Just numerous. Robert Dougherty for his calcium deposits. Seems like as we get older, our bodies seem to do weird things. Sister Luana. And pray for my husband and my family. God has moved in a mighty way. You know, people have the gift of prophecy, and God is talking to my son. I praise him for that. When sometimes it's a shame that it's this way with us also. When we finally lay down in the midnight hour, he can talk to us. And he's doing that with my son, and my son's listening. He went to Sunday school, and I praise God for that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. So sound like God's a-moving on your behalf, our sister.
Amen. I praise him for that.
937, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Yeah, this is Brother and Sister Green here in Springboro, Ohio.
Okay, praise the Lord. Appreciate you calling in there. So we're going to have Tim to sing a song, we'll get you in there to obey the Lord there then, Brother Green.
Okay.
I get Brother Green first if you want. I learn a lot when I'm on here, Brother Yearwood. I praise God for you guys allowing me to be on the broadcast. Thank you.
Okay, well, we'll just get Brother Green in to go first there after Tim sings this song there then.
Sounds great.
Myself at a crossroads, I knew the time was right, for God's Holy Spirit spoke to my heart that night. He showed me my lost condition. I bowed in full contrition, and now I'm in a new position. Since I made up my mind, I've made up my mind, no matter what others say, I will follow Christ. and walk in His way. Though the battle gets hard and the road gets steep, that's okay. I'll set my heart on becoming like Christ, dying with Him and raised to new life. All the things of this world I'm leaving behind, 'cause I've made up my mind. Trouble came running to me, so I had to make a choice. Would I run or take a stand against this evil ploy? And after all God did for me, and Jesus' blood that set me free, I chose to walk in liberty, and I've made up my mind. I've made up my mind, no matter what others say, I will follow Christ and walk in His way. Though the battle gets hard and the road gets steep, that's okay. I've set my heart on becoming like Christ, dying with Him and raised to new life. All the things of this world I'm leaving behind, 'cause I've made up my mind. All the things of this world I'm leaving behind, 'cause I've made up my mind.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Wonderful song there. 770, come in and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Praise the Lord, brother. You're with us, Brother John from Thomaston, Georgia.
Well, praise the Lord. Glad that you called in there, brother. We got Brother and Sister Green to go first there, so we'll get you in there just in a few minutes there, brother.
That'll be fine.
Brother Green?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm glad to be on the program tonight. Thank God for saving me and bringing me into this marvelous way. And it's just good to be a Christian tonight. The program is on identity theft, is what I understood. And, you know, the devil's out to steal. He's out to kill and destroy. And he's out to take anything that we've got, everything good we've got. That enemy is out there, and he's trying to take away the things that God has given us. And the Bible says every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. And we know that the good things that we have in this life are all because that God is blessing us. And it's the Bible tells us it's the Father's good pleasure to give unto us the kingdom. And I thank the Lord tonight that I'm in that kingdom, and I plan on staying. And, you know, the devil's trying to, though he's trying to get me out of the kingdom of God, and he's always going to try, he's always going to come around, excuse me, and he's going to try to take you out of the part that God's given you. And he's put you in there for a purpose, and when he saved us, He gave us a calling, and He gave us a purpose, and He wants us to go forth and try to win souls and try to get people out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And I want to read a scripture here in John chapter 10, and the 10th verse, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." You know, the devil, if he could have stopped Jesus from going to that cross, he would have done it. But he couldn't stop him, even on the cross. You know, they begin to talk, and they begin to say if he was the Son of God, he could save himself, you know. And he could save others, and why can't he save himself? And even the two thieves that were on either side of him that were being crucified, they also railed on him, the Bible said. But, you know, he didn't come off of that cross, but he endured because he knew that if he died, he was going to raise again. He was going to come up out of that grave on that third day, and he was going to bring captivity captive. He was going to take those that was in the heart of the earth and paradise there in Abraham's bosom. He was going to take them back into heaven. And the Bible said that he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And so he took them in paradise, wherever that's at tonight, I'm not sure, but Paul said that he was caught up under the third heaven, and he even called it paradise. So I believe today that paradise is somewhere in heaven. So, and one day we're going to go there. If we, you know, when we pass off in this life, when we pass away, we're not really, the body is going to die one of these days. The scripture tells us that it is appointed to die, and after this, the judgment. And, you know, the devil's out to kill, and he's out to rob us of the life that God gave us through his son Jesus Christ. When Christ died on that cross, he brought salvation to whosoever will. Could come and have eternal life. And I'll tell you, the body might die, but the soul never dies. And I'm thankful that Jesus purchased our soul at Calvary, and he bought us as a total person, body, soul, and spirit. And our spirit's never going to die, but when we die, we're going to go to be with the Lord. You know, the devil wants to stop you from making heaven your home. He's throwing every roadblock he can in the way, and he's trying to discourage you, and he's trying to tell you what's the use of going to church, you know. What's the use of putting forth all this effort and doing the things that you're trying to do for God? And he's trying to make it look like that all the work that you're doing is in vain. But I tell you, it's not in vain tonight. I tell you, there's a payday coming, but the enemy, that old devil, wants to steal the things away from you. And the Bible tells us that we must endure unto the end. And if we endure unto the end, he said, the same shall be saved. He said it would get so bad in the last days that iniquity would abound, and the love of many would wax cold. And he said that many would depart from the faith, and they would run after false doctrines and things that's coming into the land. But I tell you, it's not a time to run after false doctrine, but it's a time to get in the Word of God, and it's time that we make our election and calling sure, that we don't let anything take us out of this race. And Paul said that he'd run in a race, and I'll tell you, I believe tonight we're getting close to the finishing line. I believe we're getting so close we can almost see the checkered flag. I believe the Lord is coming soon, and I don't want nothing to take me out of the hand of God. He said nobody, nothing was able to separate us from the love of God, and that is in Christ Jesus. I tell you, I'm glad tonight that I have that love down in my soul, that I've been bought by the blood of the Lamb, and I've been purchased with a price, and that was the precious blood of the Lamb that was slain, praise God, at Calvary 2,000 years ago. Oh, praise God, it's good to be a child of the King. You know, I know the devil's out to steal what we've got. I know he's out to make us look like we're not Christians, that we're something else, but we're Christians tonight. If we name the name of Christ and we're living right and we're doing everything we can do, we know that we're justified by faith. And we're not justified, the Bible said, by the works of the law, because Jesus already fulfilled all that law, praise God. And there's no need for another sacrifice because he paid it all. And there's people out there tonight that are sacrificing animals, and they're trying to get to heaven some other way, climbing up. But Jesus said, there in John chapter 10, he said, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Well, I tell you tonight, we came in at the door when we came in through the name of Jesus. There is none other name given among men whereby that we must be saved. But the thief is out there tonight, and he's out there to try to steal from you, and he's trying to steal that eternal life that Jesus bought at Calvary. Praise God. That's why we call ourselves a Christian tonight. The Bible said there in the book of Acts that they were first called Christians at Antioch, and I believe they were called Christians because they lived Christ-like, because they weren't out there sinning and committing sin and practicing sin, but they began to practice righteousness, and they began to live holy. And they begin to live godly, and they begin to love one another and have compassion on one another. And they begin to pray one for another. And the Bible tells us we need to pray one for another that you may be healed. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I tell you, the devil wants you to stop praying. He wants you to quit your prayer life and to give it up. But I tell you, the Bible tells us that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And I want you to know tonight it's not time to faint, but it's time to get on our knees and begin to call upon the Lord. And the Bible tells us to watch and pray, and I'm doing that, my friend. I'm watching and I'm praying, and I see the things that are coming to pass, and I know that the enemy is out there trying to deceive. And I'm just glad that I'm not deceived tonight, Brother Yearwood, that I know in whom I have believed, and I know that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And I'm going to stay on the Lord's side, praise God. And I want to stay on the battlefield because he's the captain of our salvation, and we're in a warfare. And, you know, there's an enemy out there, and he's out there to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's out there to try to take every good thing away from you that he can. But there's a song going into the enemy camp and taking back what he stole from me. And that's what we need to do, saints, is to go back and take back what he stole from you. Praise God. I'm turning it over to Sister Joanna here, and it's been good to be with you.
Amen. Appreciate you.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord, Brother Yearwood, and good to be on here tonight with you guys, and thank you for the opportunity to get to share the word with the world. Praise God. This goes into third world countries. It goes right here in the United States. It goes right here at home. Praise the Lord. And
Amen.
You know, it's a wonderful opportunity to get to preach God's word. It's an honor. I consider it an honor. Hallelujah. And I was thinking back, you know how when I first got saved, Brother Yearwood, I was 19 years old, and my mom, you know, she had always told me that, you know, God can see you, whatever you do. She brought me up right. We didn't go to church probably like we should have. And my grandmother was Methodist, and I was one of those that said, well, when people would ask me at school, you know, what denomination, what religion are you? And I'd say, well, I'm Methodist because my grandma was Methodist. So she brought me to church a couple times, maybe a handful of times. And I'd say, well, I'm Methodist, and didn't know anything about the Methodists. And you know, and then I remember going to church with my aunt, Betty Bowens, and when I was probably a preteen, I guess. And I remember she took me to a Pentecostal church, and I remember going in there with her, and I remember they began to sing the songs, and my cousin, she would shake her tambourine, and I thought, wow, you know, the comparison from the different, you know, denominations. And I'm not getting on denominations. I'm just telling you, giving a foundation here where I was a child, and as I was growing up in my adolescent years and into my teen years, I didn't know what I was. I didn't know what I knew there was a God. I didn't understand Christianity. I didn't understand the cross. I didn't have the revelation of Jesus Christ on what he what it meant to, you know, the world, that he shed his blood on Calvary. I didn't have all that knowledge. I didn't understand it. So when I was 19 years old, I go to a church, and it was Brother Jimmy Swaggart. I'll just tell it. And I remember when Jimmy Swaggart preached the message there in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and he made the altar call, and I remembered that I was sorry for my sins. And I remembered that I went up to the altar, and I knelt down to pray, and I began to weep. And I know that I was sorry because I had failed God, and, you know, I listened to the message that Jimmy Swaggart preached, and I still didn't understand the plan of salvation, did not understand the cross. I did not understand Calvary. I did not understand the wages of sin is death. I didn't understand that, but God gives life, praise the Lord, eternal life, praise God. I didn't understand all that. And how in the Old Testament, how the high priest would take the blood sacrifice one time a year into the tabernacle and go into the Holy of Holies, and he'd offer up the blood sacrifice. I didn't know all that, didn't understand it. And, you know, and still back then, it was just it really couldn't save him. But if God honored the priest offering up that sacrifice, if he was clean himself, he was allowed to come back out of the Holy of Holies. But if God saw that there was sin in the priest's life, then he would be struck dead. And so, and then Jesus came, praise the Lord, and he did the ultimate sacrifice for you and I. He is the high priest, praise the Lord. He, what he did at Calvary, he shed his blood. He was that pure Paschal lamb that we no longer need a priest. We no longer need to go tell a man our sins and confession, so they call it. But we need to take our sins to the mediator, which is Jesus Christ. And we need to accept the pardon that he shed his blood on Calvary for me, for you. Praise God, though we weren't even born yet, but he died for the whole entire world, that a man does not have to take a blood from a lamb and go into a place called Holy of Holies no more. Because when Jesus had died, the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. Praise the Lord. He done away with sacrifice, so to speak, of the high priest. And he went into that place called hell during the 3 days that he was in the tomb. And he had went there into hell, and he took back the keys to the death and hell. And he set the captivity captive. He set them free, praise the Lord. Their souls, they were in a holding place that they weren't able. Those of the saints of the Old Testament had to be held there in paradise until Jesus came and set them free. Praise God. Now, they were looking forward to the Messiah coming in the Old Testament. We in the New Testament now, we look back at 2,000-something years ago, what Jesus Christ done for us. That's all. He said it is finished at the cross. And I know we're talking about identity right now. Praise the Lord. But I felt led to go ahead and tell when you get the revelation of Jesus Christ and who he is, I tell you what, he'll keep you, keep yourself, praise God. When you got the revelation of who he is, praise the Lord, when he resurrected and he walked with them on the road to Emmaus, their eyes were holding. The ones that walked with him, the ones that watched him, eyewitness, they saw him face to face, the disciples. They saw the miracles that he performed. They saw the sin being forgiven. They saw the miracles, blinded eyes open, the lame to walk. But yet, amen, when he walked with them after he arose, they did not know him. Their eyes were holding. And that's what the world is happening in the world today. Their eyes are holding, and they don't see Jesus. But if they get in to the Word and just get down on their knees and ask God to forgive them of their sins, all that they had done, the sins of their past, would be just that,
sins of the past and covered by the blood of Jesus, never to be remembered ever again. Hallelujah. The sins that I done when I was out in the world is never to be remembered ever again. And God can make you something in Him. He can raise you up. He can give you revelation. Praise God. He can speak to you in the midnight hour when you're laying upon your bed. Praise God, Brother Yearwood. You know what? I didn't have the revelation at 19 years old. I didn't stick with it when I went down to that altar at Brother Jimmy Swagger's. I didn't stay saved because there's no excuse. And I look back and I think all I knew that I was sorry. That's all I knew, that I was sorry that I offended God, that my sins, that I had upset Him. And, you know, and then went on about till 26 years old, and I had a couple of my children already. My son was 10 months old. My daughter was getting ready, or she may have just turned 3. And I remember thinking, you know, I used to send the kids to church with my mom. And I remember thinking that I would give the excuse all the time, I can't go to church, Mom, with you because I don't have a dress. And, you know, I was a sinner. Praise God. And, you know, God didn't care how I would have came. The Bible says to come as you are, that God wouldn't have cared. But that was my excuse, because I knew when I walked through the doors of that church that I was going to get saved. I knew it. But I still didn't understand Christ. I didn't understand salvation. Praise the Lord. You know, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. And so when my little girl tells me, Mommy, when you get little like me, you can wear my dresses. And you know that is spiritually speaking, when I come humble as a child, I could wear her robe of righteousness. And you know, I didn't understand that then, but I understand it so much more today than I ever understood it. And it's 21 years later. Praise God. So I went to church that night with my mom, my little children, and I remember sitting in that pew. I remember the preacher preaching, and I remember him making that altar call. And I remember thinking, a conviction came down on me. I can't send the kids to church with my mom. It's my job. I'm her mom. I'm his mom. I need to be taken of myself, and my soul needed to be saved. And I still not understanding the plan of salvation, still not understanding it. But I knew I had a job as a parent to do, to raise my children in church. And praise God, like I said, my daughter's now 24 years old. My son's 22. And I have another one, Rachel, 10 years old. She helps us on the broadcast on Friday nights. And praise be God to God. He's called me to minister. He's called me to preach His word. Didn't know anything about women being called or how doctrines were, what women's not supposed to preach or they're supposed to preach. Didn't know anything like that, Brother Yearwood. All I knew was I had a responsibility to do about 6 months after I got saved. Praise the Lord. But I didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. I was going to a Pentecostal church, and I knew that I wanted it. I knew I want this, what they've got. Praise the Lord. And I remember praying many, many, many a times, God, if this is real, this Holy Ghost, this speaking in tongues that these folks are doing, I want that. I want all that you can give me, God. And you know, He gave that to me about 18 months later. I got saved in 1993, and I didn't preach my first message until 1999. I had to wait a while. I had to study to show myself approved. I had to learn more. I had to get the revelation that God wanted me to know. And you know, as we're talking about identity tonight, Jesus said, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter looked at Him and said, you're the Christ of the living God. And He said that upon this rock I will build my church. Only God could give you the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And once you get that revelation of who Jesus Christ is, you will never want to let go. Praise God. You know, going to church just don't do it. Just because my grandma was a Methodist, it didn't do it. Just because I was a good person, praise the Lord, I tried some things sometime in my sinful life, but I was never addicted to anything. Just because I was a good person or wasn't addicted didn't make me saved. at all. I could have given every neighbor a $100 bill. That didn't make me saved. I had to go and repent of my sins because we're born into this curse because of Adam and Eve, the fall of Adam and Eve. Praise the Lord. And because Jesus came and he made a way that man and women can reconcile back to God without going to a high priest, the priest, and confessing your sins to a man. But you go to Jesus Christ, the mediator, the Son of the only begotten Son, and you confess your sins, your faults to him, and let him be real in your life. And you hold on to him, and you don't let go. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil steal the identity of Jesus Christ and who he is. Let him be real in your life. Praise God. And now I want to ask you this question tonight. If you were not to wake up in the morning, where would you spend eternity? Would it be heaven or would it be hell? Because you'll go one place or the other. Praise God, your soul will either return back to God, because it says absent from the body is present with the Lord if you're saved. But if not, you'll be where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And one of these days, if you go there, one of these days you'll go with the false prophet and you'll go with the devil in the lake of fire. Oh, praise God. Give your heart to him tonight. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to turn it over back to you, Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful word there. God's really moving, really blessing. I believe that over the air and over the world. I believe he's touching the lost souls. So, you want to sing a song now, Tim? Praise the Lord. We'll let Tim sing a song, then we'll get you in there to obey the Lord. So, let Brother John or Sister Gladys, either one of them want to come first, why, just go ahead there.
Well, you go ahead and pick, Brother Yearwood. I'm good to be last. I don't mind. Go ahead and let Brother Samples go first.
Okay, well, after this song, then Brother John can go ahead. Do you have a prayer request there, Brother Green, Sister Green, you want to make known?
Brother Yearwood, just pray for our family members, and we're heading out to church right here in a minute, so pray for a revival. The Lord will move. And there's a lot of loved ones that's unsaved, and we want to see them saved, so just lift them up to the Lord.
Okay, we sure will. Sister Gladys, you got any prayer requests? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Gave me a while ago.
Yeah.
But you have another one?
Go ahead. Oh, just keep praying for my son. I know God's drawing him. That's what the Word of God said. When he draws him, he'll bring him back in. I give God all the glory for that.
Amen. I do too. Brother John, you got any prayer requests you want to make known this time?
Yeah. First of all, I want to thank everybody for their prayers. They've prayed for my wife and the deliverance of the Lord Jesus Christ and how everything's just coming together. You know, the Bible says in Romans 8:28. Now we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God is answering prayer. He's on the throne, and I just praise the Lord for his prayer answering God. I did have a request tonight coming in. God just answering prayer for prayer for prayer, but my one son, on his job, he's about like Sister Green was a few weeks ago. He's got to find something for his job, and he's got to have it for it in the morning. So, and they put a little high and low for it, like the woman did, and swept the house. So, just continue to pray that God will show and this will show up before in the morning, when it's necessary. And
amen.
Also, pray for. Few weeks back, one of the ministries that we were involved with and helped with, and Misfits International Outreach, they're going in the highways and byways and compelling them to come in. They have a tent. And there's other thing. God just answering prayer, and they set up a tent at the one pastor's house, and And I think they had about 70 people out of the tent. They had 7 or 8 get the Holy Ghost and get saved. And so we just praise the Lord for that. It was on Easter Sunday morning. So they go out and they fix food, and they basically go out on the streets. They're out there among the addicts and the homeless and different things like that. So, we were part of that and still a part of it. We helped them, and so that's just a great ministry and outreach. And we're just seeing people being delivered and set free by the power of God. People on meth and different that were addicted to different drugs, but being set free by the power of God. So just continue to pray for this ministry also.
Amen. Yeah, we'll be a friend with that. I tell you what, that touches my heart just to hear that there's somebody that's got a burden to go out and do things like that. I wish that God would make a way where we could get out there and do more like that. Because I tell you, it's them people out there, they're hurting. And I know one time years ago, I was in drugs and everything so bad, this was ever thought about ever getting married. And I was in drugs and alcohol, and I can go to the spot today and show you where my daddy, I come in from Atlanta, Georgia, come back home, come in on the weekends, and I come back home, and every time I'd come in, my mother and daddy, they were real religious people, and they went to church every time the doors was open, and I'd come in all drunk, doped up and everything, and one day my daddy took me for a walk, and he walked me up the road there just to past his house, up this little steep hill in the road. Big old rock got stuck up there, and people had to go around that rock and that rock road, or they'd tear up their cars or something. He told me right on top of that rock, he said, "Lord Gray," he said, "if you can't come back home sober," he said, "just don't even come back." He said, "You're wearing your mother to death." And I know when there are people out there like that, they're in trouble. They need help.
Yeah.
And that, it just, my heart always goes out to hear that somebody's doing something for somebody like that. Praise the Lord. We'll let Tim sing, and Brother John, you can come on and obey the Lord then. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Rivers of joy and I'm flooding my soul. I know my sin debt is paid. I'm forgiven of my sin and I've been born again. Praise God, it's settled. I'm saved. Praise God, what a wonderful peace I have found. It's settled, I know that my name's written down. I'm saved, I'm free, I'm no longer a slave. Praise God, it's settled, I'm saved. The burden of sin that I've carried so long, it's gone, Christ rose from the grave. And you can't make me doubt what I'm going to shout. Praise God, it's settled, I'm saved. Praise God, what a wonderful peace I have found. It's settled, I know that my name's written down. I'm saved, I'm free, I'm no longer a slave. Praise God, it's settled, I'm saved. Praise God, what a wonderful peace I have found. It's settled, I know that my name's written down. I'm saved, I'm free, I'm no longer a slave. Praise God, it's settled, I'm saved. Yeah, praise God, it's settled. Praise God, it's settled.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful song there. So, Brother John, just go ahead and obey the Lord then.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Appreciate the opportunity to preach the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And amen. We are coming out of Matthew chapter 24 tonight. And hallelujah, we are speaking about identity theft. Amen. It's worldwide. Amen. And I know that, there's a lot of different things that are advertising how to keep you from your identity and you, who you are. Amen. And hallelujah. There are thieves out there, amen, to steal your identity, to get your possessions and these things. And here in Matthew 24, starting with verse 1, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. They had come to him, amen, as Jesus had departed, amen. They were there in the temple, and amen, he was there by himself. And when they came to him, amen, it wasn't to pray with him. It wasn't to worship with him. It wasn't to, but they had came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. They had came to show the grandeur, amen, how grand the buildings was going along with the temple, Herod's temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. The buildings that they were looking at, Jesus began to prophesy and declare, as you see all these things, see the grandeur of the building, see the place of worship. You know, they were looking, amen, they come. And how many people come, amen, and hallelujah, come and do declare where they're worshiping, amen, where they are, amen, that maybe they go to a certain church, or maybe they go to, even as Sister Green was talking about, a certain denomination, amen, or certain place of worship. You know, the Bible teaches us in the book of John, amen, when Jesus was going there, amen, and going, amen, to, into the area of Samaria, amen, and he came to the woman of the well, amen, and you know, the thing was, identity already come, because they had not come, amen, to confirm the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted to speak about religion. They wanted to speak about the grand building. They wanted to speak about, amen, many people will come, amen, and seemingly it's not about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about where they're worshiping. You know, the Bible says, amen, he was speaking to the woman of the well, amen, and she perceived that he was a prophet, amen. She said in verse 20 of John chapter 4, she said, our fathers worshiped in this mountain. In other words, they were at Mount Gerizim in Samaria, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So the Jews had declared, amen, that Jerusalem was the place of worship. The Samaritans had declared that Mount Gerizim, was a place of worship. So it was all about the place of worship. It was all about the building of worship. It was all about the, as Sister Green brought out, amen, sometimes it's all about the denomination, amen. It's all about, the grandeur. It's all about being a part of the crowd or the multitude, amen. Not about being about Jesus, amen. It's not about the worship, amen. So they're already stealing the ID, the identity, amen, because it wasn't about who Jesus was. It was all about, amen, the buildings and the place of worship and what the, amen, hallelujah. And Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. He was telling her and declaring her that there'd be a time that they would no longer worship the Father. They were no longer, amen, the places of worship, amen. And as he had said over there in Matthew 24, this is the places of worship. But because of the desolation that would come to the place of worship, come to the place of the synagogues, he'd come to the place, amen, amen, and how they would destroy the temples, and they would destroy the synagogues by bombs, by fires, the places of worship, amen, and people would mourn because the place of worship, the big, great buildings, amen, and God, amen, all across the world and all across down through the years, they mourned about churches being put on fire. They mourned about churches being blown up. But this is a prophetic word that came from the Lord himself. When we begin to identify, amen, amen, and try to identify, we already steal the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are still the identity of the church. You know, it's not only stealing the identity of Jesus, but we steal the identity of the church. Because the Bible says, amen, that the church there are many members of the one body. The body of Christ is the church. Amen. And we need to know that that's the place where we've been called out. But it's not a building that's been made with man's hands. But we put so much into it. Or a place, amen, of worship. But Jesus declared by prophecy that he told the woman at the well that there'd be an hour that they were no longer, not even in the place of worship, worship the Father any longer. Amen, amen. And that's what's happening. Hallelujah. That the places of worship. Amen. There's no worship. There's no prayer. Amen. Because they've stolen the identity of the church. Amen. Because it's all about where you're worshiping. It's all about what you're worshiping. But you need to know today. Amen. Amen. He said in verse 20, he said, "You worship, ye know not what." We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. We know, amen, that salvation comes, amen, to the Jew first. Amen, hallelujah, and then to the Gentile. They were branches that were grafted in, amen, after receiving. For the Bible tells us in John chapter 1, he came into his own, and his own received him not. There was a time, amen, a time that they did not know, amen, who he was, an identity. And I'll get into that in just a little bit. But the Bible says in verse 23, "But the hour cometh." Amen. He's already talking about. But the hour cometh, and now is. In other words, the hour is here. It is the hour of worship. It's the hour of praise. It's the hour of celebration when the true worshipers. Oh, it's the hour for the true worshipers. Here's where the true worshipers are. They're not worried about the buildings. Amen. They'll come to Jesus and say, "See the," and try to move him by their great grandeur. You need to know tonight that not even the greatest synagogue, not the greatest cathedral, amen, we need not to know and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and try to woo him, amen, and try to move him by our great buildings. That will never do. Hallelujah. But I'm talking about a building. You want to move him about a building? You're God's building. You're God's husbandry tonight. Amen and hallelujah. And I want to know tonight, I want to ask you, has worship, has the church been stolen and taken away from you? Can you identify yourself, amen, or can you identify yourself as a rock in the midst of the place? Because this one was the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the chief cornerstone, who the master builders rejected. And this master builder, amen, this chief cornerstone, amen, who was the very cornerstone of the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We find, amen, it talks about it, amen. Hallelujah. And Sister Green brought it out, amen. It's in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 20, it declares, amen. He said, who do men say that I am? Amen. Hallelujah. And they said, some say, amen, they tried to ID him as Jeremiah. Some tried to ID him and put John the Baptist. But we need to know tonight, amen, that the Bible says in Hebrews that it's appointed unto a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. There's resurrection, but not reincarnation. Amen. There's only one life, but we only have one opportunity. It's a lifetime event to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't come this over. We're not going to come back as this or that. You need to know, amen, that once that body lays down, once that temple is destroyed, once there's not another stone upon another, amen, have they granted it, have the stone come together. But Jesus said there would be an hour that not one stone, not one building would stand. Amen. Hallelujah. But tonight, amen, the Bible speaks of in Matthew chapter 7, amen, that those that hear his word and do his word, I like unto a man, a wise man, who's built his house upon the rock. And when the winds beat vehemently in the waves, amen, when the storms come in, the Bible says, if it's built on that rock, amen, hallelujah, amen, that house will stand. But the Bible says that those that will hear his word but not do it, amen, I will liken him to a man who built his house upon the sand. And when the waves and the winds with it, great was the fall of the house. Amen. And what's happening is that stone, that cornerstone, can be something you can build your life up on. Amen. Hallelujah. That stone will not be moved. Or if we disobey, if we become sinners or walk away, that becomes a stumbling block, a rock in the middle of the road that just is in our way. The gospel's in our way. Jesus becomes something, amen, that we can't, amen, work around because he's just in our way in our life. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, hallelujah, he said, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Hallelujah. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The hour for the true worshipers. Jesus declared, amen, and just like I was saying in Matthew, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 18, hallelujah, 16, excuse me, talks about, hallelujah, hallelujah there, amen, talks about, amen, he asked them who, and he said, but whom do you say that I am? Amen. He asked them, amen. Men ID'd him as a prophet. Men ID'd him as someone reincarnated. But then the Lord asked Peter, but whom do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed to you, but my Father, which according to the word of God, is a spirit, hallelujah, a spirit that we seeking such to worship, hallelujah, he said, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of God, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's a declaration, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah, and as he said, amen, going back to Matthew 24, the Bible says, hallelujah, he said, see all these things, the scriptures teach us in Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city, talking about Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a place of worship, but you need to know, amen, that the Jerusalem that's above, amen, that, amen, that's coming down, that John saw in the Isle of Patmos in the book of Revelation. He said, I saw New Jerusalem coming down as a bride adorned. Amen. Hallelujah. And coming down out of heaven. We need to know, amen, that the Bible says that there are two allegories, there are two covenants. One in Sinai, which is by Hagar, the bondswoman, and the other, amen, by Jerusalem for the mother, that Jerusalem, which is above. In other words, the heavenly Jerusalem, the Jerusalem, the city, amen, that Abraham was looking for by faith, the city that Isaac was looking for by faith, the city that Jacob was looking for by faith, coming down, amen, to place, amen, hallelujah. Sister Green was talking about a holy place, amen, and Brother Green was talking about these different things, amen, as they come, hallelujah, and you need to know tonight, the Bible says that when he come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Oh, how many times did he cry over that holy city? How many times did he cry over you? How many times is even as it said in John chapter 11, when he wept over the amen, Lazarus, solemn morning, amen, knowing that he was the resurrection, amen. And the Bible says in verse 42, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. You see, you can't even identify yourself. You can't even identify yourself, amen. You let your own identity get away from you of who you are in Christ. Amen. You've let everything as a child of God. Amen. You've let the enemy steal every bit of it. It just began in the Garden of Eden. Amen. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve, amen, was in the garden, identity itself came in that very first moment of time. Amen. 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 When he came and stole their identity, took away of who they were as the first man and woman of God, the creation of God, and caused man to fall. Amen. Hallelujah. That identity, he came in. That old devil was the first hacker. Amen. Because this was God's holy website. This was Windows 1. Hallelujah. And when it was opened, amen. Hallelujah. And God rested and he created, amen, out of the dust. Amen. Hallelujah. The earth. And breathed in the end of man, and man became a living soul. When they come in there and God had it. Amen. The first thing that come up, the first spam that come up, the first virus that come up, he come in through the back door because God had a firewall. His word was a firewall. But amen, hallelujah, that old spam, that old virus come in, begin to speak about death, begin to speak about a tree that had knowledge of good and evil when they were instructed, amen, on that first original site, not to go there, not to go to that site, not to go to that tree. Don't even go near it. Don't push that inner button. Don't get your hand on that mouse and move around. Amen. Amen. And get right on there. But that's what Adam and Eve did when the enemy came in and said, look, you need to come to this side. You need to come up. Doesn't this look good? He said, let me open up another door. Just like Brother Green brought out. He said, if any man come any other way, he's a thief and a robber. Oh, church, you need to know there's only one door to heaven tonight. There's only one door to the sheepfold, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? You got to go. You got to pick the right door. You got to know the right door. You got to know everything about it. You got to ID the right door, because anything else behind it, if you go in the wrong door, if you go in the wrong house, you know, Brother Yule, we were talking about people being drunk. I know people have been under the influence, done got in the wrong house, done got in the wrong door, done got in the wrong place, done got in the wrong car, done got in the wrong life. Oh, this is not me. This is not my identity. You know, amen, because the enemy has come in to stake your identity as sons and daughters of God, as children of the living God. He has come, amen, amen, and he's taken away your father. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 19, and amen, he said unto thou, that thou art hid from thine eyes. Verse 43, for the day shall come upon thee, that thy enemies shall eat. I cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee on every side. Here with Jesus, if you would have known me, you would have had peace, but you don't have peace. Amen. The Roman Empire, the Gentiles came in under Jerusalem. They begin to compass about them. They begin to trench. It was a place of peace. In fact, that's what Jerusalem means, found in peace. Jerusalem, found in peace. Amen. They did not have the peace that would belong to them because it had been stolen. Amen. It had been stolen. They had allowed the enemy, amen, to come in and trench round about them. Church, you need to be careful, because when you are, amen, in your identity, when you're on your security, you need to know something. Your life is hid in Christ. The life that I now live, it is not I that live it, but Christ that lives within me. Amen. He's got your number. He's got your personal ID number. He knows your number. And you know what? The enemy's trying to come and get your ID so he can open your accounts, so he can take everything. Amen. But I'm telling you today, the Bible says, lay up your treasures in heaven, where the rust and moth does not corrupt, and where the thief cannot break in. I'm talking about a secure site. Amen. It's in the heavens with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about secure ID. I'm talking about Christ living down on the inside of you, that no one can break the code. Amen. No one, amen, can come in. Amen. And come in. And there's no viruses. Amen. There's no sickness. There's no disease. There's coming to a place. Amen. Because your ID is in Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Bible says, and they shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Oh, you didn't know that Christ had visited you. You didn't know that Christ was in your life. You didn't know that he had wept over you. You didn't know when you cried, when you come in off that meth, you come in off that heroin, you come in, you're so messed up, you didn't even know who you were. You didn't even know who you were. You had to go, amen, and you may have got stopped, amen, and you had to get your ID, amen, and you couldn't even find your ID. You didn't even know who you are or where you're at. And those underneath the sound of my voice, you let the enemy steal your ID. You let the enemy steal your church. You let the enemy steal your place of worship. You don't even know that it's the hour where the true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. It's not in denomination. It's not in a building where the stones are. It's not in a city, amen, where the stones within your own life, amen, will not be upon one another. But, amen, you've come, amen, and you've been stood within your own life. Things that will steal your identity. Things that will come, amen. Amen, the Bible says, hallelujah, amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. As they're talking about, amen, somebody, amen, all these things, if you're a part of this list, you'll never inherit the kingdom of God. That won't be your inheritance. You'll never enter in. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is within you tonight. It comes not without observation. It comes without observation. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what it said. That Apostle Paul said to the church at Rome. And the Bible says, and such were some of you, but you are washed. Oh, thank God. He wants to wash you tonight. He wants to wash the slate clean. Oh, he's going to reveal his ID, his identity in you. You've got some new ID. You've got, amen, you're in the Lord's Witness Protection Program. Oh, you're so deep in, amen, that the enemy can't touch you. Oh, in fact, he said to them that overcome in the book of Revelation,
will I give a white stone, a stone which is Cephas, which is innocency. That's what Peter was called. He said, thou shalt no longer be called Simon, but thou shalt be called Cephas, which means the little stone. Amen. And he said, and on that stone, a new name that no man knows, hallelujah, but he that receives it. God's given you a new ID, and no one's got your number, and no one's got your name but the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We all have all kinds of services that want to try to protect you, but my protection and your protection tonight is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a secure site. Amen. That no man can break. No man, no devil, no anything can come in there. It's just you and the Lord. No one can figure it out because no one can break in. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and such were some of you, but you're washed. How are you washed? The Bible says you're all clean by the words I've spoken to you. Tonight the word of God is going out. Tonight the word of God is erasing the viruses and the sicknesses and the diseases if you receive it. Tonight the word of God is giving you a new ID. Amen. Where the enemy can't come and steal your name and your holy name that God has given you and your place of holiness. So he cannot take you away from that. But he says, but you are sanctified. But ye are justified, what? In the name of the Lord, hallelujah, Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. You need to know, amen, the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, wherefore I give unto you verse 3 to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say in the book of Matthew? Oh, do we not cast out devils in thy name? Do we not speak with new tongues? Oh, what did he say? Depart from me, thou worker of iniquity. I knew you not. This is not the keys when you're just calling him by name. Because you know what? You can't call him Lord except you have his spirit. You can cry out. You can use that name. But amen, hallelujah. It's just like anyone else. Amen. Hallelujah. You misuse the name. The Bible says in Proverbs, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and is safe. The Bible says, hallelujah, going back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. As he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? When shall these things be when the temple that we see and behold, now there'll not be one stone upon another. You know, they had to take them back. And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? What shall be the sign? What shall we look for? And Jesus answered and said to them, here's the first sign. Take heed that no man deceive you. First thing, church, take heed that no man deceives you. And he said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There are many men that are coming and say, declaring that they are the Christ, that they are the anointed one. But church, tonight, they are not the anointed one of God. The Bible Amen. Says in Jeremiah 29:8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. There are many. The first Amen. Sign that he says at the end of time, many will come, saying, I am Christ, and deceiving many. First thing he says, take heed. Take heed, church, tonight, that no man deceive you, and take the identity. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him? The Bible says, talks about Esau and Jacob. I don't think I'll go there right now. I'll either save it for later or let someone else there. I'll give it over to Sister Gladys. Talks you about, I'll get into that a little bit later if there's time, but go ahead, Brother.
Go ahead, Brother John, if you need to.
Well, we know about in Genesis chapter 27, the Bible speaks of, amen, of two twins born to Isaac and Rebekah. Her womb had been barren for many years, and then God opened her womb in Genesis chapter 25. Amen. And the two children struggled within her. They struggled within her. And she even asked a question there, and I believe it's in Isaiah 25 or 22. Why am I left? Why is it this way? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manners of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. It was a prophecy, amen, that amen, at that time the elders already received a greater portion and a blessing than Jesus, the Lord, God the Father, had declared that the elder would serve the younger. There would be two manners of, and the stronger would serve. Amen. Hallelujah. They'd be separated at womb. And when they were born, Jacob, the supplanter, Esau was born first, hairy, red-haired. Jacob, amen, come right after him and took hold of his heel and brought him back down into the womb. Oh, that's why it was called the supplanter. Amen. And that was his name. And the Bible says as they grew, amen, it came to the time when Isaac got old, there in chapter 27. Amen. And as he was coming, he told, the Bible teaches us, amen, that Rebekah loved Jacob and Isaac loved Esau, amen, and ate of his venison. And so he knew that it was at the time of his death. And going on down farther there in that same chapter, chapter 27, amen, that as Rebekah heard Isaac to send Esau out to prepare some venison, that he was getting ready to bless him, giving him a blessing. And so Rebekah took the raiment of Esau, her other son, the eldest son, put it upon Jacob, her younger son, took the skins of the kids of the goat and put it upon his hands, upon his neck, because he was smooth, yet his brother was hairy. Tried to ID him and tried to put him off as Esau, and the Bible says she went out, amen. And even Jacob said, I don't want to be cursed. He said, I don't want to appear unto my father as a deceiver. He said, I shall bring a curse upon me, there in verse 12 of chapter 27, and not a blessing. Hallelujah. She said, let the curse be upon me. She come in with that deception, and she put on the clothes, amen. Hey, put in there. You need to know tonight, church, you can change clothes, you can change that, and you can even fix up some venison just like Esau would have fixed up. But that doesn't make you Esau. That doesn't make you Christ. That doesn't make you the son or daughter of God. Hallelujah, because it comes on the inside. Amen. It was already to his by promise. But the Bible says that he, in verse 18, and he came into his father, and he said, my father, and he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn, and have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless thee. And Isaac blessed him. He said, come near that I may feel thee. Because he knew even within himself the smell, but the voice was Jacob's. The voice was Jacob. The voice couldn't be changed. The hands were of Esau. The clothes were of Esau. But it was still the same voice. It was still the same voice. Church, do not listen to the voice of the stranger. Do not listen to the voice of the stranger, but listen to the voice and hearken to the voice of God. He discerned him not because his hands were hairy. He said, come near to him. He smelled the smell of his raiment in verse 27. He smelled the dew of heaven, and he began to bless him there in verse 28. Turning to give him, that God would give him the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine, that people would serve him, nations would bow down to him, that he would be the Lord over his brethren. And thy mother's son, bow down to thee, cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be everyone that blessed thee. And it came to pass, Isaac went out Jacob went out after the blessing of Isaac. And then Esau came in, his firstborn. And the Bible says, Isaac had trembled exceedingly, because what had he done? He had given his blessing. Esau had lost his birthright, sold it, despised it, and lost his blessing.
Amen.
He said, thy brother came with subtlety, and have taken away thy blessing. He was identity theft. He was Esau, but you know what? Church, you don't want to be the Esau's of the world, because the Bible says Esau sought for a place of repentance and found none. Some of you want to be like others. Oh, I want to be like this person. I want to be like this celebrity. I want to be, you know, because they're great. They're the firstborn. They're common. They're doing this and they're doing that. Church, here's what I would say to you tonight. Be yourself. Be who you are in Christ. Be who you are, what God has called and made you. Because just like he said, Brother Green brought out this. The Bible says in James chapter 1 that every good and perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights, where there's no variableness or shadow of turning. Every one of you underneath the sound of my voice, the Father of lights made you and created you just the way you are. Why would you want to change that which is perfect, that which is complete in Christ. Now, don't get me wrong, we can change things in our own thing by entering in things, but today, just be who God has called you to be. And going over there and later on, in chapter 32, this same Jacob was wrestling with the infantry of God all night long praying. And God said, "What is thy name?" And you know what he had to say? He couldn't say Esau. He couldn't say this. He could lie to his earthly father, but church, tonight you can't lie to the heavenly father. He
Amen.
Said, "I am Jacob." He's got your number. He's got your ID. But you know what? He was the original user. He said, "Thou shalt not be called Jacob anymore, but thou shalt be called Israel, for thou hast prevailed with God." Church, tonight, have you prevailed with God? God will give you a new ID, a new name, and a new representation. In fact, when he comes to you, he'll make all things new. How about it, church? Do you want all things new tonight? It only comes by the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let the enemy steal your identity in Jesus. Go ahead, brother. You're with Sister Glass.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful word there, Brother John. That's good. So we'll let Tim sing another song, then we'll get Sister Gladys come in there and obey the Lord then.
Go ahead, brother.
Praise the Lord.
If you had known me then, the way I was before, then you'd understand why I can't hold back the tears. Now my life is so different since I gave it to the Lord. And I want to give him glory while I'm here. I stand before you knowing that it's only by his grace that I am just what I am today. I'm a trophy of grace. Part of the result from the old rugged cross that was stained with his precious blood. Though I'll never understand why he died in my place, just look at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace. Though there is way I can repay his love, for the mercy he's shown is more than lied to me. There's nothing I can do or say that would be enough to pay the debt of sin he paid for me. My life's a testimony of his mercy, love, and grace. And one day I will thank him face to face. I'm a trophy of grace, a display of his love. I'm part of the result from the old rugged cross that was stained with his precious blood. So I'll never understand why he died in my place. Just look at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace. Just look at me today. I'm a trophy of grace.
Praise the Lord. Sister Gladys, you go ahead and obey God. Sister Gladys?
I'm here. Sorry, I had it muted. I praise God, Sister Betty, that you asked me to come on the broadcast. Like Sister Green said, it's an honor to preach the gospel so far away. And, you know, it's not in the numbers. It's whether we touch a soul. And I pray that some many souls are touched through this broadcast and the Green's broadcast also. There's many dying and hurting and going to hell today, Sister Yearwood. And I praise God for the testimony that Brother Yearwood had, because it will touch many lives. It touches mine. It touches many mothers today that walk the floors at night. And in the midnight hour, their sons or their daughters are out drinking it up, and they're shooting up, and that's the tool of the enemy in these last days. And I know that the enemy wants to take them by the hands full and put them in the grave. But I know whom I believe in. He's not stepped off the throne. And I know in whom I believe. And those that may be shooting up tonight will be preaching the gospel in the pulpits tomorrow. I thank God that he can turn things around when they earn their reputation back. He won't just put them in if they do have a reputation. But I know that God knows our hearts, and he knows what he can work with. And if we give him more to work with, then he will move. You know, I wanted to start off in Revelations 2:2-3. It says, "And I know thy works, and thy life, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted." You know, today we're living in a time that we truly need to know the Word of God. And the more and more I see the posts on Facebook, I try my best to repost things that aren't the King James Version. I know a lot of people want to use the commentaries, and there's nothing wrong with them as long as they're strictly based on the Word of God. But I know this much, Sister Yearwood, more and more people may say, "Well, that sounds familiar." The enemy will come with that.
Amen.
They will make a doctrine on using just a few scriptures out of the Word of God, and they'll add their own part to it, their own little doctrine to it, to where it's leading these young people astray. They've got every false doctrine under the sun, and the Lord told us in the last days even the very elect would be deceived. I know this much, that I had scriptures written on Joseph, but that's not who the Lord was leading me on to speak about. But I wanted to say three things that I know is truly needed in our lives today. Our pastor's son preached, and I'm not going to redo what he preached the other night, but it's so true. We need to have surrender. We need to seek his face, and we have to have servitude. We have to rely on God's empowerment for servitude by his Spirit. We need to have the heart like Jesus had to do his will. And in Matthew 7:8, it's, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open." If we want to have a heart like Jesus, we need to seek God's face, and we need to truly get in his Word. That's where he speaks to us, and that's truly where we learn about the Lord. Because some preachers get in the pulpit, and some pastors don't even want you to read it for ourselves. But I've got a pastor, praise God, that tells you, get in the Word for yourself. As long as I'm living it, then follow me. If I get off the track and I'm not serving God, then don't follow me, because the blind will lead the blind right into a ditch. We have to know the Word for ourselves. And he said to study to show thyself approved. You know, many young girls, I know I was this way when I had babies and I worked full time. I said, "Lord, when will I have time to seek your face?" But when everything was quiet, it may have been 2:00 in the morning, it may have been 1:00, that's when the Lord could really deal with my heart. Those were times that no one was around. No one laid hands on me to be healed, but there on the couch when I was crying, when I read the verses where he went up Calvary, then he proved himself in my own living room. No one had to reach out and touch me. Jesus touched me, and he healed my kidneys at one time. You know, doctors have a place, but the main healer in this day and hour is Jesus. He always will be the healer. And I wanted to think about, I was thinking about this afternoon, I was talking to my husband. I said, "Well, honey, I never really thought much about identity theft, but it is so true what happened with Esau and Jacob. And how unfair that would have been for him to be so hungry and his brother be kind of greedy and sell out to his brother. But there's a price to pay when we sell out to Satan. I know this much, that if we truly do seek the Lord's face, then we can't get lost in him. You know, the backslider will be led away from the lust of the flesh. You know, the devil today knows what our weaknesses are. And that's what these young kids are doing. They're being shown every flashy thing. They can tell you what stars are on television. And people need to be careful of what they're seeing on TV. You know,
amen.
God said they're not having idols above him. But yet that one show is American Idol. People don't give that much thought. And they'll sit there and worship the people that are on that show. They'll sit there and watch that show for I don't know how long it lasts, because I don't watch the show. But I know this much. I'd rather be in the house of God worshiping my Lord. We need to settle our
amen.
Issue of worship with the Lord. You know, I was, it was cutting deep last night when I listened to a minister, but it's so true. And I have to, my toes were bruised severely last night. He said, you need to get your lazy self out of your house. Now, I'm not a half hour late to church, don't get me wrong. But even if we're 10 minutes late, that's not really showing God fairness. If we want to honor and worship our Heavenly Father, we need to be there on time. Let him know we respect you, Lord. You've done so much for me. And I need to, if I'm going to be a leader in the church, then I need to walk uprightly and show someone leadership things to follow. So I praise God tonight, because we truly do need to seek his face and follow what he has for us. What I was going to read on a little bit, I don't want to go too far into it, but Moses, it says in Exodus 2, 1 through 10, it says, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags of the river brink. And his sister stood afar off, and to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. When she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. When she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. You know, that king in Egypt at that time, he wanted to slay and kill all those boys that were born. You know, we're living in a day and hour that it's nothing for women to do what they feel, the lust of the flesh, to do what they feel like doing, and then they have one abortion after another. I understand that there are many that grieve after things like this happen, and there's medical reasons that some have to have it. But to continuously do this, it's between them and God. It's not between me and them and God. But I know this, Ms. Brother Yearwood. We're living in the last days. And
amen.
We're destroying a whole generation. It may not be just sons, but it's daughters also. And I know this much, if we're killing off a generation is what I'm trying to say. The devil's taking his turn by using the tool of the drugs, but he's also using doctors to kill these innocent babies. And they themselves had their lives stolen and their identities taken from them. And it makes you wonder what Moses' life would have truly been like. But he was raised in Pharaoh's house. So his identity was completely altered and it's completely changed. And then when God called him to lead the people across the wilderness, he wanted to know, who am I, you know? And God had to let him know, I am the I am, and you're to follow me, and that he would use him. And many times we use excuses. He said, I stutter, I do this, I do that. Many times we find ourselves doing the same thing. But it's like you said, Brother Yearwood, when I was first called to preach, a little elderly lady wrote a note, and she said, he equips the call. He doesn't call the equipped. And that's so true. We have to get in the Word and study the Word and let the Lord lead us and guide us. And if we have the right spirit about us, we'll know. We need to ask for more discernment in this day and hour, because I want to know if there's a demon or a devil sitting next to me in the pew. You know, if
Amen.
They need prayer, we need to help them. I'm so sick and tired of people going to church and leaving the same way they came in. It should not be that way. Jesus was the healer of the people. And if we have enough discernment in us, Brother Yearwood, then their life can truly be altered to do what God's will is. But I know this much. The backslider, if he would have stayed submitted to God, the devil would have had to flee. And then his identity would have never been stolen. Once they lose their identity, then their life is completely changed. And the devil feels like he can kill and destroy their whole life. That's their whole life, their children, their wives. He doesn't care who he hurts as long as he takes a soul to hell. But we need to keep our loved ones covered in prayer. Now, I praise God tonight. Like I said, I know I've mentioned it a couple times, that he's drawing my son back. And when it says, when the Lord draws him, the Spirit must draw someone for them to get saved. And I praise him for that, because many an hour I have walked the floor. I have wondered where he was and what he was doing. But, you know, when I get out of the way, when this mama finally moves over and lets God be God and say, Lord, do what you will, do what is needed, then God can do something with my son. But it's when we get in our own children's way that we cause problems with the Lord's plan. But, you know, I like the part in this message that I didn't go into detail with, that even though Moses was put in that basket, his mother even gained wages by becoming his nursemaid. And I praise God for that.
Man.
He knows how to turn our lives completely around and alter the plan to benefit him. But God are two words we need to always remember. No matter what Satan wanted to try to pull in the doctor's office, but God turned it around. But God turned our finances in a way. He will hold back the devourer of our finances, of our health. He will move in a mighty way, and I'm looking forward to that. He's got better days coming for the saints of God. The world, soon judgment will show up on this nation, but he will protect his own. He will take care of the saints of God if we submit
Amen.
To God. The devil has to flee. I want to turn it back over to you, Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful word there, I tell you. The devil has to flee, according to James 4:7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God and resist the devil, and he shall flee from you, or he will
Amen.
Flee from you. So I tell you, that's all it takes, is just turning it all over to God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and take these prayer requests before the Lord, and let's remember Brother Eddie Bolton. He's still in need of prayer, and I understand that he's in a lot of pain. I called him the other day and talked to him. He said that seemed like the more he talked, the worse he hurt. So I told him I'd get off and I'd keep him in prayer. So, and I think Brother John talked to him and seen the pain that he was in, but trying to talk to him on the phone. So we need just to pray for all of our requests, and let's pray for our listeners out there that God will touch them, and if they got any needs, why, God will move up on their needs. So our Heavenly
Amen.
Father, Lord Jesus, as we come before you right now, God, Lord, we bring these requests to you. Lord, you see each one of them. Father, Lord, we bring them to you right now. Lord, place them, God, at the foot of the cross. Lord, we just ask you, God, that you would save God that's lost on our way to the devil's hell, Father. Lord, we just ask you, God, that you will save that soul, Lord, that is so near to hell. Without any hope, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would turn him around. Turn her around, God. Lord, that one Father that needs you, God. And Lord, we just ask you, Lord, that you'll touch them that's sick and afflicted. God, that you will heal them, Father, and make them whole, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, we praise you, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, just touch every listener out there, God. Meet their needs, Father, in Jesus. And Lord, by these stripes, we are healed. And Lord, we give the praise and the glory and honor for it all. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You got something ready, Tim? Praise the Lord. We'll let Tim sing another song here, and then we'll try to obey the Lord there for a few minutes. You know, I just praise God for this broadcast. I believe it's really come forth, and I believe that the word has really been talk to the people out there tonight. I don't think there's going to be any body that can have any excuses after this broadcast, not because of just us, but because the presence of God is being on it, and because the presence of God is one that's speaking the words. So we'll just go ahead and worship the Lord with this song, then I'll try to obey God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise.
And by the power of the Holy Ghost, he lives inside of me. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, I now have liberty. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, I walk in victory. My God, he's a healer. He's a healer of broken wings. He lets me soar like an eagle, and he makes my heart to sing. And he is more. So much more, he's more than anything. My God, he's a healer of broken wings. Now the devil, he's just a liar, and for a time I was deceived. He said there's no use in trying, demons good is all you'll need. But those days they started praying, and the Holy Ghost was in me. He unlocked all the prison doors and the captive spirit free. He healed all the brokenness and gave me liberty. He filled me with the Holy Ghost and I walk in victory. Well, I've got a reason to sing and I've got a reason to shout. And I am not ashamed to tell you what it's all about. You see, Jesus Christ is risen with healing in his wings. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, he lives inside of me. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, I now have liberty. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, I walk in victory. Well, I've got a reason to sing, and I've got a reason to shout. And I am not ashamed to tell you what it's all about. You see, Jesus Christ is risen with healing in his wings. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, he lives inside of me. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I now have liberty. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, I walk in victory. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, he lives inside of me. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, I now have liberty. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, 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 I walk in victory.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful song there. So if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with us to Matthew 24. I know this has been spoken on, but some of it, but there's some of it in there that I feel like God wants me to try to bring out. So just pray for us as we try to obey God.
And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be one left, they shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat up on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many.
Praise the Lord. You know, I think Brother John done brought out some of this, but, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. You know, I look around today, and I think about, you know, I've been looking on the Internet and all these different Bibles and things, and, you know, that they've got come out with, and they're stealing the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ by changing the words around. And some of them, there, you take and change a word and change a whole message of anything, you know, and that's what they're doing. I tell you, they've took out the blood, and, you know, without the blood, there's no remission of sin. And I tell you what Jesus told them there. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. You know, we look around today, and, you know, there's preachers out here. They're preaching everything under the sun beside the real, true Word of God. And, you know, we just looking there this morning on the Internet where this little young boy, real small, looked like maybe about 8 or 9 years old, if he was even that old. They tried to convince him that he was a Muslim, that he was one that was going to deny the Lord, but he didn't deny the Lord, but they killed that small kid for that. And you know, I tell you what, today people are trying to change everything under the sun, but they ain't going to change nothing because what God's Word said, He said it and He meant it, and it's forever settled in heaven. I thank God tonight. I tell you what, people needs to stand upon the Word of God just like a lot of them's doing. And, you know, Betty mentioned there a while ago about Brother Saeed that been over there in prison over there in Iraq or in Iran. I've been in prison over there for about 2 years, I think. But, you know, praise God, the Lord has delivered him from the prison now, but he's in jail, or not in jail, but he's in the hospital over there, and they said he still ain't out of the woods. Brother Jay Sigalow said he won't be out until he gets back into the States here to his family. And, you know, God has moved. He got him out of the prison, and we need to stand in the prayer. Stand in the gap and pray that God will bring him on back into the States. Praise God. I tell you what, God is still God. He's still hearing and answering prayers. And I'm so thankful, praise God, that God is still, He hears His children when they cry out, just like Sister Gladys said there a while ago about you submit yourself there to God and the devil has to flee from you. James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I tell you what, praise God, that's God's children that is calling up on God, and he's hearing and he's answering their prayers. Yeah. He's answering, my friend. He hears every prayer that you pray if you are the child of God. But if you're not, then you need to make it right with the Lord. You need to hear his cry. He's calling your name, telling you to repent, and that you can have life and have it more abundant. I tell you, praise God. Hallelujah. Go ahead and read some more. Praise the Lord.
Matthew 24, verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
Praise God. Hallelujah. See, every way we turn anymore, it seems like a war and a rumor of wars. Nations against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. But praise God, there's one thing for sure. If we'll stand true to God, as Sister Gladys said a while ago, He will take care of us. He will answer. He will meet our needs. I believe He's a God that loved us enough that, like just John 3:16 says, for He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That takes some love right there. I don't know of anybody that I could take one of my kids and tell them to crucify Him that they would be saved. But praise God, God did. He loved His Son. I know that He loved Jesus because He had turned His back upon Him when He hung on the cross there. But praise God, God raised Him again the third day. He called His name and He come forth. Praise God. And I tell you what, today, my friend, God is calling your name, and you need to come forth. You need to come out of that darkness into His marvelous light. You need to identify yourself with the Lord. You need to let Him come down into your life and let Him take abode with you, and you take abode with Him. And praise God, the Father will sup with you, and the Lord will live with you. And I tell you what, it's so good to know that Jesus is living down in our hearts and down in our spirits. I tell you, He's so good. He's so big that it took all the earth to be His footstool, but it took all the heaven to be His throne. But yet He's so small that He can live in our hearts. I'm so thankful for that tonight, that the Spirit of God lives within our hearts. If we've been washed in the blood and been called out of the darkness into His marvelous light, I'm so thankful, praise God, that I know that I know that I can identify myself with the Lord Jesus Christ because He come into my life. He saved me. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I thank God for that. Hallelujah.
Matthew 24:7. For nations shall rise against nations and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
Praise the Lord. Do you hear that there? It said that this gospel shall be preached into all the world for a witness. Then He is going to come. And, you know, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God that God is letting this message go around the world. I thank God for this broadcast, not because of Lloyd Yearwood, but because God has got a hand on it, and He's reaching out to the people around the world. He's calling them out of the darkness into His marvelous light. He's telling them if they'll only call upon Him, He will hear and He will answer. I said a lot of times, David said that he was in trouble, and he called upon God, and God heard him, and He answered him. He delivered him from his troubles. And my friend, God don't have no respect of a person. If He has delivered David, He will deliver you. And you know, praise God, Job over there, I don't know why, but Job come to me. But you know, the devil He had to get permission from God to ever touch Job. And I tell you what, today, I believe the devil has to get permission from God to ever touch you, to ever touch me. I thank God tonight, hallelujah, that the devil cannot do nothing to us, that we just trust God and believe God. I tell you what, praise God, the devil, he's out, as Brother Green said there a while ago. He's out to steal and to kill and destroy. But Jesus Christ said, I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly. And I tell you what he said. Jesus said, if I be for you, who can be against you? Praise God, I tell you what, there ain't no one can be against you, even though they'll even hate you, they'll even spiteful use you, they'll even curse you, and they'll do all things try to deceive you. But praise God, if we'll just hold on to that unchanging hand, my friend, we'll make it. We'll make it in. He said, them that endure to the end, same shall be saved. If we'll endure to the end, we'll hear him say one day, come on in, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. I'm looking forward for that myself. I'm accounting on that day. Praise God. I tell you what, sometimes I get homesick to go home because I know that whenever I get up there, there won't be no more troubles, no more sorrows, no more pains, no more aches. But praise God, it'll be joy unspeakable up there. We'll be blessed for everything. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles, we're going to go into Revelation, the second chapter there. Hallelujah. I want you to just pray and seek God with us. Hallelujah.
Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candles. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, God's word there is telling us that they are sent, they're apostles, but they're not. And he says that he's found them to be liars. And you know, there ain't no liar going to enter into the kingdom of God. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. We need to know that we know that when we speak the word, that it's a true, undefiled word of God, that we've got our minds made up, got our hearts fixed, and our eyes set on the kingdom of God. And we can worship him here on this earth. We can glorify him, and we can praise him, and we can make heaven our home. Praise God. I'm so thankful for that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go ahead and read some more.
And hath borne and hath patience, and for my name's sake has labored and hath not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deed of the I can't say that word, but which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. You know, I was just thinking there while she was reading that, you know, one time that tree in the midst of the garden, it was forbidden to be eat of. You know, Adam and Eve, they eat of that garden, that tree in the midst of the garden, and they fell from God. That's what got us into this mess that we're in now. That's the reason why that we had to go and be repent and rededicate our lives because of the tree in the midst of the garden. Satan come to Eve and told her, said, didn't he say that you'd be as gods if you would eat this? But he said you would just be as a god. But praise God, I'm telling you today, I'm looking forward to one day after a while that we'll be able. It will be bidden. One day after a while when we get to heaven, we'll be able to eat of that tree in the midst of the garden that was bidden to eat of. Praise God, I'm so thankful tonight that we can overcome this world. Praise God, and we'll overcome it if we'll just hold on and believe what thus saith God. Take this word that we've got here, that we read. I tell you what, I believe the King James Version of the Word of God is the only one that is true. I know that there's many of them out there, but my friend, I'm going to tell you something. If they're not backed up with the King James Version Word of God, my friend, I wouldn't want to pick it up out of the road because it's doing deceiving, and it's very likely that the Word said in the last days that they would be deceiving. They'd be deceiving. They'd be receiving. They're doing everything under the sun today to devile the Word of God. They're trying to make it none effect. They're trying to do away with the blood. But my friend, without the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, it will not do no good. We can offer up all the lambs we want to offer up. We can offer up all the doves that we want to offer up. But my friend, I'm going to tell you something. Their blood is no more good. But praise God, there ain't but one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood is the only one that's offered, the finisher of our faith. He's the only one that we're going to be able to make heaven our home is whenever we dedicate our lives through that blood, get all of our sins under the blood and get identified with him. You know, don't let the devil steal the identity of the Lord out of our lives. And, you know, praise God, it's time and it's high time that people cry out to him today and say, Lord, have mercy on me because without you, Lord, I have no life. Without you, Lord, I can have no healing. Without you, Lord, I don't have anything but just praise God. But with him, we've got all things, and all things are possible through him. And things that seem possible with man, praise God, through him, all things are possible. And I'm so thankful tonight that everything through the Lord is possible. Praise God, I'm so thankful tonight that we can look to the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think Betty's got something here she wants to say.
I just want to say that we just got about a minute and 42 seconds, so I just want to say that if anybody's in the Madisonville area, Madisonville, Tennessee area, or surrounding areas, we'd like to have Madisonville Church of God. The address is 3895 New Highway 68, Madisonville, Tennessee. So come on out and be with us if you can.
Praise the Lord. Sister Gladys, you want to tell us about your church there?
Yes, it's US 60, 6387, out in Postville, Kentucky. And we're open on Sunday morning at 10, Wednesday night at 7, and we have a Sunday service at 6.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. So anybody up in them areas there, around these areas, hear the church's announcements, why, go out and be with them and just worship the Lord with them. Also, if you'll email us on our website and make contact with us, why, we'll see about making arrangements to come to your church and ministering for you there by God's help. So we got about 30 seconds there left, so we'll just go ahead and say goodbye and God bless everybody, and we'll be coming back on Friday night and with Brother and Sister Green and them from 10 until 11 or to 12. And ours is on next Tuesday night. So everybody just join in, be with us there, and God bless you. And bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye.